That's a good place to start, isn't it? I think we could all go home now because that says volumes, doesn't it? Hey? Right, so here we go, folks. An elephant controlled by that tether around its ankle is one that has been born in captivity. From its early days of life, it will become conditioned to the message of that tether. You have no power. You're nothing. You're a nobody. You don't move. You're not here to demonstrate your power. You're here to perform. Within that captivity, it's disciplined and trained to perform for a taskmaster. Likewise, friends, we were born in captivity, held captive to darkness and sin by the so-called god of this world, the devil. He trained us to perform for his pleasure and purposes. He held us captive because we knew no different. We all lived under what the Bible calls the law of sin and death. And we were deceived into believing it was all this life had to offer. Just like an elephant in captivity can never know the freedom of roaming the plains of Africa or splashing in the waterholes of Asia, so we could never know the freedom that God in Christ Jesus has provided for us, unless someone was to step in and set us free. Now, keeping in mind our captive elephant, its freedom to be secured, it will take one greater, with more power and authority than the wicked taskmaster, to come and overthrow his power and authority, to break the chains that hold our elephant bound, and to lead that elephant out into freedom, into a new life. The good news is, and this is from Colossians 1 and 13 to 14, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Or as the message puts it, and I love this, God has rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world. And why? It wasn't to give us Christmas. The reason God sent Jesus into the world, the Bible says, was that he appeared to destroy the devil's work. Jesus came into this world with one thing in mind, to do what was necessary to set the prisoners of the God of this world free. You should be saying hallelujah, you know, or praise the Lord, or yeah. Yeah, Jesus came to set the prisoners of the God of this world free and free them from their pattern of performing for that evil master. Jesus, who knew no sin, has broken the power, the purpose, and the penalty of sin, both in us and for us, by taking it on himself, as if it was his sin, as if it was his, as if it was his sin, his punishment. And in love, he's carried it to the grave, so that we can be set free as God intended us to be. The Bible says, Romans 8 and verse 1 to 2, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I want you to take notice that there's two laws in that verse. There's the law of the Spirit who gives life, but there's also the law of sin and death, two opposing and totally sort of ends of the scale laws. Friends, we lived on death row, performing for an evil master, and we didn't know it. We were already condemned under that spiritual law of sin and death. But by repentance, by turning from all we were and turning to Jesus, our new master and Lord, we're liberated. We're set free by the law of the life-giving Holy Spirit who lives in all of us who've turned to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We can be in that place of being bound and held by that law of sin and death. And in a moment, we can turn to Jesus and be totally set free from that and freed for to live in that place of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. It's great. Wonderful stuff. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're a child of God today, and I trust you are, but if you're not, it's time you left that place of living under the law of sin and death and came to that place of liberty and freedom, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's time you came there. But for those of us who know Jesus, who've been forgiven by him, who are walking in that newness of life, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Bible says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Absolute freedom. You're free today because of what Jesus has done for you at the cross. You're free. You're free from the penalty of sin. You're free from the purpose of sin. You're free. The debt's paid. The punishment's taken. Jesus took that for you so you could be free. We do not have the ability to free ourselves. Only Jesus can do that. But we do have the choice, the responsibility to respond to his ability to free us. As a Christian, I'm under new management by choice and I'm free to live the life he has created for me. He's provided for me. He's destined me for. It's not the plains of Africa or the waterholes of Asia like our elephant. But as a child of God, I can walk the plains of the kingdom of God in the presence of my loving and good Lord and Master, splashing in, washing in, and drinking from the river of life, his Holy Spirit. So, when I became a Christian, that's it then, is it? I'm forgiven, I'm free, and nothing can enslave me. Nothing can bind me up. I'll always make the right choices. I can do as I want and never mess up again. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. We're free, friends, but it will take effort on our part to stay and grow in the freedom that Christ has granted us. Galatians 5 and verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So what is this freedom that's ours in Christ? William Barclay said, "Christian freedom does not mean being free to do as we like. It means being free to do as we ought." Big difference. A.W. Tozer said, "Christian liberty is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin." Another good definition of freedom is that it is the ability to choose what is right and the power to do it. The ability to choose what is right and the power to do it. Going back to the first part of that scripture, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I just want you to see what's being said here. Christ has freed us for freedom. It's something we have when we come to Christ, but we also move into. There is the freedom that Jesus gives to us through his death and resurrection, which leads to the freedom he imparts as we learn from him, as we follow him, the freedom he set us free for. Going back to the elephant, when the elephant is released from its captivity, it needs to be retrained by the master before it can enter into the fullness of the freedom that it was created and destined for. To be immediately freed into its true habitat, then it would struggle to survive. As it takes time for freedom to be revealed, embraced, and applied to its lifestyle, thoughts, patterns, emotions, and relationships. So it is, folks, when we come to Christ, we are freed, but he will take us into that freedom by teaching us through lifestyle, thought patterns, emotions, relationships. He will teach us and lead us into complete freedom. Just another illustration of this, again, from creation. During the summer, we have our conservatory doors and windows open to make the most of the beautiful weather. Often a bee will buzz its way in, buzz and buzz out again. And we all love bees, don't we? But it's not just the bees that find their way into our conservatory. So do spiders. Yeah, so do the spiders. They find a little hidey hole. And close by, they weave a web in a position where they're most likely to catch an unsuspecting flying insect. Very cunning, very clever, but very cunning. Anyway, early this summer, Scott and I were having lunch, and suddenly we heard a frantic, rapid buzzing coming from where the roof comes down to the windows. And it is... That's my bee impersonation, a frantic bee. A bee had been caught in a spider's web, and you know how the story goes. The spider just lets that little darling bee struggle until he's totally wrapped up in that web, and then he comes out and injects him and just stores him until he's ready to have something to eat. You know, it's a horrible... But that's what Heavenly Father ordained. That's how Mr. Spider would get his lunch, but never mind. However, we rescued the bee. We got him out of the web before the spider got to him. But he was totally unable to fly because of the threads of the web that were binding him. And using my eyebrow tweezers, we spent about an hour pulling the strands of web from this bee, and he let us until he was free enough to fly again. And there was a point at which we freed the bee from the spider's web. But actually, it took time for us to free the web from the bee so he could be free. And in the same way, Jesus, he frees us, if you like, from the devil's web. But it takes time to remove those little threads that are binding us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's a bit like salvation. Jesus has saved us. We're being saved, and we will be saved in the same way. So it is with freedom. We've been freed, we are being freed, and we will be freed. Dare I say, when you're really free, that'll be when you're in eternity, because we'll be delivered from these old bodies that are, you know, we struggle with them, don't we? Or young bodies, we struggle with those as well. It's not just old bodies. we'll be really free then. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. This world has no substitute for the wonderful freedom that Jesus brings. There's nothing like it. There's no substitute. You can't get it on the internet. You can't pay for it. There's nothing like the freedom that Jesus brings. Let's read that verse again, Galatians 5 and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let's look at the second part. Notice it's our responsibility to stay free. Stand firm then. It says stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It says do not let yourselves. That's your responsibility. Do not let yourself. Do not let yourselves get bound up. Jesus has set us free, but for his ongoing work to completely liberate us, we must learn to be wise in how we live, how we communicate, the choices we make, the relationships we keep. But above all, first and foremost, we must guard the relationship we have with him. I felt I should include this because all scripture is inspired by God, and there's some harsh bits in the Bible, aren't there? If you don't know it, then it's time you started to read your Bible and find out, because there are some really harsh bits. And this scripture is a really harsh one. It's from 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. It says, if they, that's people like us, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. Now, I find that frightening. I find it very harsh, but I have no intentions of finding out if it's true, which is, of course, it is, because it's God's word. But I'm not going to see how far I can go before that scripture kicks in. No, no. I believe that scripture. I believe God saves us and intends that we continue to walk with him and in the freedom that he gives us. It's very subtle. There are many ways in which we can get entangled again in our past and what we were and so on. But there's one that I feel that I really must speak about today, make mention of, because it's so subtle. One of the key places we can become enslaved as a Christian is to allow our relationship with the Lord to become nothing more than religion. It's subtle, but it must be mentioned. One of the key places we can become enslaved as a Christian is to allow our relationship with the Lord to become nothing more than religion. I just want to let that one land with you a moment. For example, if in a marriage we do only what is required of us as a husband or wife, but are not motivated by a heart that loves and treasures our spouse, then the marriage will weaken and possibly die. And so it is with the Lord. Everything he does for us is rooted in love. And that should be, it must be the motivation for all we do, all we are for him. Let nothing or nobody ever take his place. You see, once you're free from the enemy, free to walk with Christ, to be with him, it's the tool the enemy loves to use to get us tied up is that of religion, dry, dusty religion. Well, we've always done like this. You know, you've got to pray this way or you've got to do something that way. Oh, just just empty, empty religion. We have been born again. We have been brought into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And never, ever let anything rob you of that. There are far too many other ways to mention in which we can become entangled again with the past and the things that rob us of our God-given freedom. It might be a good series to do, actually, what robs us of God-given freedom or something. Anyway, Jesus sets us free, but it's a journey with him over time, through difficulties, temptations, discipline, lovingly choosing to please him before pleasing ourselves or others. Then we'll begin to enter into what it is to be free, and free indeed. So, going on with the keys to freedom now. The course suggests four key lifestyle choices to help us as Christians maintain a life of freedom. They're referred to as the four stay-ins. Stay in prayer, stay in the Word, and stay in fellowship with other believers, and within that same context, to stay in accountability. Back to our elephant analogy. Given time, he will recognize the master's voice. He will also gladly respond to that voice. He will learn how to search for food, what is good to eat and what is not, where to find water to drink, where to bathe, and be introduced to a herd, discover its place and role within the herd, its family. All this will be leading the elephant into a greater and ongoing freedom to be the elephant he was created to be. So let's look at these four stay-ins for us as Christians. Anytime, any place, anywhere, we are free to pray. Just to talk to God with confidence, not only that he hears us, but he just loves to hear from us. How many dads here just love to hear your children, you know, as they talk to you? You sit, or I hope you do, sit and listen to what they've got to say. Yeah, because you love them. And God wants us to be a people that talk to him, and because he loves to hear from us. Ephesians 3 and verse 12 says, in and through faith in Jesus, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. Isn't that amazing? You've not got to go and offer sacrifices or be some sort of special super Christian before you can stand before God. You have the freedom and the confidence to do that in Christ. We can stand with the same freedom and confidence that Jesus has before his Father. That's right. I'll say that again. We can stand with the same freedom and confidence that Jesus has before his Father. He has purchased and freely given us the right. Jesus paid the price so that you could stand with freedom and confidence before God. It's another point about prayer. As a young Christian, I remember reading this verse from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. It says, rejoice always. Yeah, come on, that's okay. Pray continually. What? It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, the other bits weren't so bad, but what's pray continually? Oh my goodness. Pray continually. What about work, rest and play? How could I always be in prayer? That must be for super spiritual people, but not for me. And what about saying the right words with a prayerful sounding voice? Prayer sounded like hard going. However, in time, gradually, the barrier between being in prayer and not being in prayer came down. setting me free to live in the place of continual prayer, praise and thanks about anything and everything. Folks, I don't want to sound glib about this, but let's come to the Lord in prayer. Well, where have we been? Where are we coming from? He's with us all the time. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mentioned that thing about religion, because if there's one place we can get religious, it's in this place of prayer, or we've got to do it in a very special way. It doesn't matter if you do that. You don't have to do that. It doesn't matter if you pray like this. It doesn't matter if you do that. But don't let it ever come to that place where it sort of becomes a religious thing. Jesus saves us for reality. He wants us to be real. You can't be on your knees if you're standing up inside. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah? And yeah, he wants us to be in his presence so that any moment we can pray. But I want to be able to live in that place where if I look back over there somewhere and I see a face and the Lord says to me, and he does, that person needs prayer, I can actually carry on talking to you at the front, but in my heart I can be lifting that person before God because I live in the presence of God. Am I sounding like a heretic? Oh, come on, we're going to go into a time of prayer. No, God wants us to live in a place of prayer. Because what is prayer? It's talking to him. And I don't have any problems with talking, you know that, if you know me. It's just talking to him and him talking to us. It's relationship, folks. It's relationship. Yeah, God wants us to... Can you see what I'm saying here? Is to live in that place of continual prayer, of an openness between you and God. There's no barrier anymore. You don't have to sort of say, Lord, can I come in and pray now? We can live in that place of prayer just to talk to him, and he'll talk to us in all sorts of odd places. It's a relationship, folks, a relationship of prayer. If you're going to walk with God, you'll need to talk together on the journey of freedom. Just imagine walking down that road. You're travelling to freedom and you're just chatting with God as you're going along. Beautiful place to be. Smith Wigglesworth, and wow, what a man of God he was, eh? But do you know what he said this? He said, rarely do I pray for an hour. What? Smith Wigglesworth, rarely does he pray for an hour. He said, rarely do I pray for an hour, but rarely does an hour go by where I do not pray. Smith Wigglesworth had learnt the secret of living in the presence of God. Oh, Lord, what time's the bus going to be? Do you know what I mean? It sounds simplistic, but I do the shopping and I thank the Lord for all the things that are on offer. Oh, Lord, this is amazing. Nearly everything in my basket, it's got money off this week. Can you see? I believe in praying so much for the persecuted church. I believe in praying for people to come to Christ, for the sick to be healed. I believe in all of those things. But I also believe that my Heavenly Father's interested by every little minute aspect of my life. He is. We make prayer such a religious thing, don't we? And we would consider ourselves to be quite a free people when it comes to prayer. But God wants us to be free in prayer, to stay free. We must be a people of prayer. Basically, a people who just live and talk with God and let him talk to them. So stay in prayer, friends. Talk with the Lord and don't give up. Don't give up. Stay in the Word. God's word is always true, always reliable, always available. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth. And what does the truth do? It sets you free. That's a good reason for getting stuck in with the word of God. It's a good reason for waking up in the morning and reading your Bible, or maybe you prefer reading at the end of the day or in your lunchtime. God's word will set you free because it imparts truth to you. The truth, not a airy-fairy sort of something that isn't the truth. It imparts truth to you, and the truth will set you free. The word of God, as recorded in the Bible, spoken by the Holy Spirit, will set you free from the lies of the enemy. Establish you in God's truth and maintain your freedom. If we're going to live in God-given freedom, we must take time to read the Bible. But we need to be intent, determined to get stuck in there. If you wake up in the morning and you say, oh, I just need to get some time today to read my Bible, and you get to morning coffee and you think, oh, I haven't been able to do it yet, I must, before lunchtime, and you get to lunchtime, well, I haven't read my... Do you know what I mean? And we can go through a day and we can be lying back in bed at night and say, oh, gosh, I never got to read my Bible today. You've got to be intent. You've got to purposely say, I am going to read my Bible. I learnt this many, many years ago as a Christian. If I didn't do it before I got out of bed in the morning, I wouldn't. And that's just how it is for me. It'll be different for every person. But what I'm saying is, try not to let a day go past when you don't read something from the Word of God. There's so many ways in which we can read God's Word today. You know, you've all got your smartphones. There are so many words that we can receive the Word of God through email, emailed every day into our inbox and so on. We've no excuse, folks, but we've got to be intent. You've got to take responsibility to get into the Word of God. Bible says, James 1 and verse 25, whoever looks intently, that means purposefully, takes effort, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And basically, friends, stay in the Word of God, read it, hear it, believe it, and act upon it. Do it. Do it. Dare to do it. You come across something in the Bible and you think, oh, that's a bit risque. I don't know that I could do that. If God speaks to you through his word, I always think what it would be like for God to say, if I was talking to somebody who was blind or something, and the Lord said to me, I just want you to spit on the floor. What? Spit on the floor, make some mud. All right, Lord. Now I want you to lob it onto the guy's eyes. That's what Jesus did. And what happened? The guy could see. Just this week, I've heard of an 18-year-old with cystic fibrosis. He was in the meeting and he came forward for prayer. And so this guy's standing in front of this young man with his whole life in front of him, but he's trying, gasping for breath. And he said, will you pray for me to be healed? He said it with great difficulty because he could hardly breathe. And so he said, so I just asked the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to pray for this man? And the Lord spoke to him and he said, I want you to blow up his nose. Well, you can imagine it. He said, for a start, he was taller than me. So he had to bend down a bit. And he said, I put his nose in my mouth. He said, but I blew. And he said, and then I stepped back. And the young man was completely healed. And he's remained completely healed. You see, God wants to speak to us. He'll speak to us through his word. It was the Holy Spirit that inspired the word of God. And the Holy Spirit will speak to us, but we need to be living in the Word of God and acting upon it. I believe with all my heart that if we're not prepared to get stuck into God's written Word, then we are less likely to hear God's inspired Word come directly to us. I believe the Father looks for us to take seriously the Word of God as written in the Bible. And as we discipline ourselves to read and to get into the Word, the written word of God, I believe it'll open up greater, more opportunity to hear direct from God in situations like that. That's only my personal feelings. I've got no doctrine for that, at least not at the moment. But I do believe that if you don't know the general word of God, what they call the logos, I think you'll be limited on hearing the rhema. But that's another story. Okay, and the other stay-in, and I join these two together, stay-in fellowship and stay-in accountability. I believe it's very difficult to have accountability without having fellowship, and to have genuine fellowship without accountability. So my next point is that if we're going to really maintain the freedom that Christ has for us, we need to stay in fellowship and accountability. I've got my own little tiny dictionary in my head here that's got favourite words in, and one of them is the word solidarity. And solidarity, it means a communion of interests and mutual responsibility. And that's what we should have as a body of Christians, to be solid together. To be solid together. Hebrews 10 and verses 24 to 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So important, folks, that we don't give up meeting together. We need to be part of the body of Christ somewhere, somehow. An elephant struggles to survive alone. We're back to the elephant. An elephant struggles to survive alone because it's designed to be part of a herd. A Christian cannot be a lone ranger. It's not what God wants. We are family, we're a body, we are one in Christ. Within our church family, we will have, at various levels of commitment, friends and acquaintances. But also with the family, we need those who look out for us, who encourage, instruct, disciple, and want us to reach our full potential as a child of God. The word is accountability, a word that often sounds so negative, but in its biblical sense, it's a massive positive. A great verse for fellowship and accountability is Ephesians 4 and 15 to 16. It says, about us all speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. Solidarity. To quote Keys to Freedom, accountability is being in relationship with someone who will keep an account of your ability, not your inability. And friends, we need that. I need that, and you need that. So let's stay in fellowship and accountability, firstly to Father God, then to one another, if we're going to know freedom. I'm going to finish with this verse, again from Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set every person in this building free. Stand firm then, my friends, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Amen.